Pray together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege of gathering together in your name under the sound of your word tonight. We pray, Father, that you would speak with clarity to every heart, to everyone who's listening in tonight. We pray that the Spirit of God would move in every life, bringing souls to Christ, backsliders returning to the Lord, and thy people being blessed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd just like to welcome you to our service tonight in the Lord's name. We trust the Lord will bless our coming together tonight for this gospel evening service. Could I remind you of the prayer meeting on Tuesday night as we meet around the Word of God at 8 p.m. We're looking at the Lamb in Revelation. Be blessed as we've looked at this wonderful theme, and we trust you'll join us for the study of the Word of God and for prayer on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. in the church hall. And then this coming Saturday, the 19th of June, the Youth Council are having a training day in our Portadown Free Presbyterian Church hall from 10 a.m. to 5:30. And the teens to late 20s are welcome to that. I don't think I would get in, but do please see that you're interested. If you're interested, get on to the church Youth Council Facebook for details and indicate whether you're going or not. You'd be welcome there if you're in that age bracket. Normal COVID-19 restrictions apply. Next Lord's Day, Sunday school at 10, and then the children have been practicing, of course, for Children's Day service. Been different this year, of course, from what we've been having, really, but nevertheless, we're looking forward. Children are really singing well this morning. I think one of the Brother David could hear them outside singing. So that was good. So please remember that service. Brother Kyle Boyd from our Crossgar Church will be along. Look forward to having Kyle along with us again. We always enjoy having him. And he will come and speak to the boys and girls at 11:30. There'll be prizes at the end for the children as well. And then the prayer meeting in the evening time at 6:20 to 6:45. I will be here in the gospel preaching next Lord's Day evening myself. Missionary Council offerings next Lord's Day. There'll be separate baskets at the exits for these offerings. And then this little book that has been produced, The Story of Grief and Grace, by Phyllis and Hartford Arnold, about their son Matthew, who was killed in a road accident last year. And that book is available. You can put your name down on the list there or see your brother Mervyn Steenson about $6.95, and we commend it to you. It's a great tool for evangelism, also great help to know those who have been going through grief and loss or have gone through it in the past. So remember that, please, as you leave the services. And then our drive-in services commence on Sunday evening, the 27th of June, and until July the 25th. That's each Sunday evening in the car park at 7 o'clock. Session have decided to go for this again this year, and we encourage you to come and invite others to come along to join with us for those special drive-in services. And we'll have various speakers, and Brother Fred will be joining us one of the nights, Reverend McCrae, Reverend Ryan McKee, and so forth, will be ministering from the Word of God and in song as well. So we look forward to those meetings, and we trust that you will plan to join with us. And the annual report for the past year, we mentioned it in detail this morning. We're not going to go over that detail again tonight, but we commend it to you. The Lord has blessed us in 2020. The offerings are up, remarkably so, while many churches are feeling the impact. We have been blessed in that regard, and we've been able to pay off, as I said, one of our loans at the start of this year. It doesn't appear in this report, but it will appear in this year's report, 2021. So we're looking at this 2020 report, and we commend it to you. It should be at the exits. You can pick it up with any questions. We've done our best. It wasn't an easy year to keep track of everything, but we've done our best to do that, and we trust it's acceptable to all. It's acceptable to the accountant, then it should be acceptable to us all. So we just commend it to you. A word of thanks to all who helped with the church cleanup on Friday evening past. A lot of ladies and gentlemen came, and the good work was done, and we appreciate that effort that was made on Friday past in and around the church. I think these are all the announcements that we have to make. Just remember, the Foster family have been asked to pray for them in Uganda. Andrew has been ill, and his wife also, and the little one, a high temperature. I understand it's not COVID-related, but it is illness, and of course the scarcity of supplies there in a country like that, and also they're in lockdown there. So do remember that situation, especially in your prayers tonight. We're going to join in the singing of 326. You'll find it on the screen there. We keep our seats as we sing, and then we'll stand for prayer. Eternal God and loving Father, we humbly bow in thy presence tonight, thanking thee for thy mercies throughout this day. For thy presence this morning in our service, we give thee thanks. We thank thee for all the blessings you've given to us as a congregation, not only spiritually, but also materially. In the year 2020, if we've looked at the financial statement, we thank thee for all that you've done there. And Lord, we pray that you continue to bless us in relation to the Lord's treasure. And we pray that you'll bless us, most of all spiritually, in our lives, even tonight, in this service, that you'll encourage our hearts as we've come to the place where we hear thy word. We pray that tonight we will, like Mary, sit at thy feet and hear thy word tonight. Choose that good part which shall not be taken away from us. We pray that you would meet every need under every circumstance of life tonight. You'll encourage every heart here in this meeting. Those who are downcast, uplift their drooping spirits. Those who have sorrow, comfort them. Those who have sickness or worried about appointments or consultations or feeling unwell, we pray that thou wilt touch them. And we pray that they may be restored to wanted health and strength again. We pray for others who cannot still be with us because of the circumstances. And Lord, we pray that in weeks to come, they will feel more confident and feel safe to come to the house of God. Lord, we pray that you will meet the needs of thy people tonight and all who are listening into this service. We pray that you'd encourage every heart. Those, O God, who have loved ones who are ill too, we pray that you'll draw near in these circumstances and give that grace and help. We do think of the Foster family tonight out there in Uganda. We pray that you're with Andrew and his wife and little one. We pray that thy hand will be upon them, that will keep them safe, that they will recover from these illnesses that have come upon them. And grant, Lord, they'll get the proper medical supplies that they need and the treatment that is required to bring them back to health and strength again. Remember all our missionaries right across the world and the different fields and the different challenges that there are. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt help them at this time. And we pray that thou wilt watch over them and preserve them. Bless our mission board as they oversee all of this work. Give them wisdom and help, we pray. Father, remember our land and all its need tonight. The darkness envelops us, the sins of many, and the wickedness of man is great on the earth. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. We pray that you'll answer prayer for this land and this nation and the nations of the world tonight. We pray that you remember even that footballer who almost died on that pitch yesterday. We pray for that young man, that thou wilt touch him. And Lord, that thou wilt heal him. We thank his life has been spared. And we pray that, Lord, if he's not saved, that his heart will be drawn to thee. And his family will be comforted and drawn to thee at this time. Lord, these things happen just in a moment of time. And we pray that you will speak to many through it. Many who are maybe watching on their televisions, we pray, Lord, that you'll speak to them about how quickly some serious illness or even death can come. Lord, we ask of thee that you'll answer prayer tonight and bless us with thy presence. Bless the word as it goes forth in our sister congregations and right across the land, everywhere the gospel is truly preached this worldwide, that thou wilt bless it tonight for thy praise, for thy honor and glory. We ask in Jesus' name, and for God's eternal glory. Amen. You may be seated. We're turning to the Word of God tonight and reading from the book of Romans chapter 8. The book of Romans chapter 8, we're reading from the verse number 1. Romans chapter 8 and the verse number 1. Let us hear the Word of God tonight. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. We'll turn again to another hymn, 320 on the screen there. We keep our seats as we sing, "I am redeemed, O praise the Lord, my soul from bondage free has found at last a resting place in him who died for me." We'll keep our seats as we sing, and then we'll stand for prayer before we have the word tonight. We remember in your prayers tonight the family of our sister Charlotte Dixon, a long-standing member of our Martyrs Church, a great faithful woman, always at the meetings. We remember Charlotte's family, her son and the family, this time of loss. She's suddenly ill during the week and didn't recover. Remember also our brother Gordon Dunn, who's very ill at this time also. Pray for our brother Gordon, this awful illness that has come upon him. Remember that family in your prayers too at this time. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do remember our sister Charlotte's family. We thank thee that she's with Christ. We pray for those left behind that you'll comfort them, her son and the family at this time. Draw near, we pray, with thy peace. For any that know not Charlotte's Savior, may they come to know him even at this time. Remember our dear brother Gordon Dunn. We pray for healing for Gordon. Now I touch upon him if it is your will. Remember his wife Gillian and remember all the family. Lord, comfort them at this time. May they know your presence and your healing touch. Bless us now as we turn to thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. You may be seated. I turn your thoughts again tonight to the Word of God that we have read from in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 17. As we come to consider tonight again great words of the gospel. And tonight we're on the theme of adoption. And what a word that is, the word adoption. And what a blessing it is, dear friends, to be in a family, to be part and parcel of a family, to know what it is to have that closeness and that contact and that communion and that conversation within a family. The benefits that such a fellowship and such a friendship brings to us in our daily lives and through the course of our lives, amidst the many troubles and the many testings and the many traumas of life, we have known comfort that a family brings to us as they draw alongside us in those times of great challenge that we face. But are you in the family tonight? The family of God? Because being in God's family is the greatest blessing of all. It brings to us the greatest benefits, not only for time, but for all eternity. The greatest security that we can ever know, and the greatest joy that we can ever experience, that joy unspeakable and full of glory, is in the family of God. Let me ask you again tonight, are you in the family? And as we come to address our subject, the subject of adoption, we look at it, of course, in the context of the Word of God. And in Exodus chapter 2, verse 10, and Esther chapter 2, verse 7, and in Luke 15, verses 11 to 24, we have three illustrations of adoption. And these illustrations would help us to understand the meaning of adoption. Essentially, it means the placing of a son. You think in the first instance there that of Moses in the book of Exodus, chapter 2 and verse 10, where Pharaoh's daughter took Moses as her son. He became an adopted son. And we know later, of course, the Bible tells us that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he identified clearly with the people of God. But nevertheless, it is an illustration of adoption. And then in Esther chapter 2, book of Esther chapter 2, and
the verse number 7. We read there of Esther. And Mordecai took Esther when her father and mother were dead, and he took her for his own daughter. And so there was this adoption of Esther into the family of Mordecai. And then, of course, you have the wayward son, the son who had wandered, who had took his inheritance and gone away from the father's house. But the father received him as his son. And of course he said, "This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And when we are born again of the Spirit of God, dear friends, we become children in God's family. Book of John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Read like this. "He came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe in his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." We're placed into God's family by believing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and accepting him as our Savior. And God becomes our loving Heavenly Father. But we not only become children of God, we become sons of God, recognized heirs. Now we have read that in the portion here in Romans chapter 8 tonight. You can look at the verses 14 to 17. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And then verse 17, "And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." And thus, by adoption, God gives us a new status. And this new status or position at once brings us into the place of a new privilege and, of course, a new responsibility. I always like to go back to the Shorter Catechism. Question 34 in the Shorter Catechism ask the question, what is adoption? And the answer is given, "Adoption is an act of God's free grace, whereby we are received into the number and have a right to all the privileges of the sons of God." Isn't that very concise? It brings out the biblical truth in relation to the matter of adoption. Now I want to address this subject tonight, this great word of the gospel, in two simple ways. First of all, the privileges of adoption. According to Ephesians 1, 4-5, we as believers were adopted in the purpose of God before the foundation of the world. Look at the words there, Ephesians 1, 4-5, "According as he hath chosen us in him," that is in Christ, "before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us," listen, "unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." And what a privilege it is. And what privileges are ours, plural, to be in the family of God. What blessings are ours as a result of our adoption. First of all, we have received his Spirit. Look again at Romans 8 and verse 15. "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Again, Galatians 4, 6, "And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. What a wonderful thing it is to have received the Holy Spirit. And every child of God, every true believer in Christ, has already received the Spirit of adoption, whereby they become children of God and they're able to call God their Father. Now, everybody can't do that. There are people who say, and they repeat the Lord's Prayer and say, Our Father, but they're not saved, so God isn't their Father. The Bible says, ye are of your father the devil. Those who are not saved, God is not their Father. And I say that very sincerely and lovingly to those who are not saved tonight. God is not your Father. You're not in the family of God, therefore you cannot call God your Father. But when we receive the Spirit of God, when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our own and personal Savior, and the Spirit of God comes into our lives, and the Spirit of God resides within our hearts, then, at that moment, and from then on, He is our Father. And we can call Him Abba, Father. We have received His Spirit. Secondly, we have been given His name. When a child is adopted by an earthly parents, is legally registered as their son and daughter, they usually take the name of their parents, the surname of their parents. And God has brought us into His family and has given us a status of sons and daughters in the family of God, has given us the privilege of bearing His name. Listen to how Paul puts it in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 15. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The name of Christ. The Lord's name. That is the name that is upon us tonight. That is the name that we bear, those of us who are truly Christians. We bear the name of Christ. Have you His name tonight? And what is the name of names that we bear? It's the name Christian, of course. The Bible tells us that the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch, Acts 11:26. And you remember how that when challenged by Paul, Agrippa said in Acts 26 and verse 28, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And so the name of Christ, the name Christian, is borne by those who are saved. Do you bear the name of Christ tonight? Are you truly a Christian? A disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? A member of God's family? Third thing is, we are conformed to His image. Romans chapter 8, we didn't read it tonight, verse 29, but we will read it now. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Notice that when we become the sons of God, the Holy Spirit who enters into our heart begins to conform us or change us into the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul again in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, he talks in these terms, he talks about being changed into His image from glory to glory, into the image or the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of those disciples, Peter and John, they took knowledge of it, that they had been with Jesus. There was a likeness of Christ in their lives. It is God's plan that we should be like Him. And when we see Him, thank God, one day we shall be like Him. For 1 John 3 and 2 says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. There's a growing likeness to Christ. There is to be that growing likeness through life. But one day we will be like Him in the fullest sense when we see Him face to face. What a prospect that is for the child of God. The fourth thing
in relation to the privileges, are we must expect His chastening. Make no mistake about it, this is a blessing. Now, you may not think it's a blessing to be chastened. Maybe when you were younger, or maybe at this point when you are still young and you are chastened by your parents and you don't like it. You don't really think it's a blessing. But the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 that no chastening for now seems to be joyous, but of course it is that which works the peaceable fruit of righteousness in each one of us. And so the Lord, by chastening, He is fashioning us more and more into His image. He is correcting us. He is leading us more and more in the paths of righteousness. When God's chastening hand is upon us, we should rejoice, because Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so there's chastening in a family. There's chastening. There's correction. There's discipline in the family. And the Lord disciplines us to make us more like Christ. And then, in the fifth place, we may experience His comfort. You know, it's a wonderful thing, and we mentioned it earlier about the comfort of a family, even an earthly family. And how much more so is the comfort of the family of God? There's no people like God's people when it comes to giving comfort. And we took that verse at the start of the year because of the situation we find ourselves in with all of this COVID and all the restrictions we're going through. We took it as a motto text. And there, if you take the previous verse, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, and then verse 4, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So as we experience His comfort, then we are able to comfort others who are in need of comfort in the course of our lives. And notice the wonderful picture that the Lord gives to us in the 23rd chapter of Matthew's Gospel. The 23rd chapter of Matthew and the verse number 37. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37. He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent to thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as an hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. The comfort that the Lord gives, the metaphor that's used here. The Lord protects and comforts us just as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings. What a wonderful thing that is. In all the distresses of life, in all the troubles that you face in your family, or that you face in your work, or that you face in the day-to-day experiences of life, whether it's in health, whether it's mental health, or whether it's your physical health, whatever it is, there's comfort. And that comfort is the comfort the Lord gives to His children who are in His family. It's a wonderful thing. It's a blessed thing. Under His wings, the Lord's wings, He gives that comfort. And then we should enjoy His liberty. The Bible in Romans chapter 8 again, this great chapter of God's Word, the 8th chapter of Romans, from verses 19 to 23, speaks about this. He says here, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption and brought into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The liberty of the children of God. And Paul speaks of liberty from sin and all that has resulted from sin. It's will one day be experienced by the whole creation. He likens this to the liberty which every son and daughter of the Lord may enjoy. You know, servants do not have the liberty which sons have. And we are sons. We are sons. Yes, in a sense, we are the servants of the Lord, but we are sons of God. We have this liberty that is brought about because of our adoption into God's family. What a privilege to be in God's family. Are you in the family tonight? Are you in the family of God? But then I want to come to the next point, and we are going to share in His glory. Romans 8:17, and if children then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. We are going to sit with Him on His throne. We're going to enjoy the Lord throughout all eternity. What glory that will be. You know, sometimes we're so taken up with this life, aren't we? We need to sit loose to the things of this life and look to the glory that awaits the children of God, those who are truly part of His family. These then are the privileges of the adoption. But with every privilege, there is a responsibility. As Peter says in 2 Peter 3:11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? The word conversation, of course, refers to our general behavior. And so we've looked here at the privileges of the adopted. I want to come to the second point tonight, which is the practice, or the responsibility of those who are adopted into God's family. And you know, these privileges and responsibilities go side by side. For example, in the first place, we have received the Spirit. Let us be careful that we grieve not the Spirit. That's our responsibility, not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 30, he said this, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And you notice down that chapter 4 of Ephesians, verses 17 to 32, and notice some of the things which grieve the Spirit of God. Notice some of the things that grieve the Spirit of God. Look at the words of Scripture, verses 17 to 32, and you will see that. So there's the works of the flesh, of course, and the things of the flesh. And put off the former conversation, the old man, verse 22. Put on the new man, verse 24. Put away lying. Be angry and sin not, verse 26. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Verse 29, grieve not the Spirit of God. Let all bitterness and wrath, verse 31, anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There's a lot of things there that grieve the Holy Spirit. I mean, a lot of things that you and I need to address there. No doubt there are. In that passage of God's Word, we have received the Holy Spirit. Let us not grieve the Holy Spirit. That's our responsibility. And therefore, there is no greater incentive to holy living than the constant reminder that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. Let us not grieve the Spirit. The second thing is, we have been given His name. Let us see that we don't dishonor His name. We don't dishonor His name. Now, it's sad to see when children dishonor their parents' name. It's a very sad thing. And that happens. And we need to pray for those who do that, that they may be brought to the Lord, because they need to have a work of grace done in their hearts.
Acts chapter 9, verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way. He's speaking to Ananias here about Saul of Tarsus, who's just got converted. Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. And so Saul of Tarsus was to bear the name of Christ. 2 Timothy 2:19, Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, The Lord knoweth them that are His, and that everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
If you name the name of Christ, you must depart from iniquity. Must not dishonor the Lord's name. Not bring shame to the Lord's name. Nothing hinders the work of God more than Christians bring dishonor to the Lord's name. Throughout my ministry, I've spent more time dealing with situations that have brought dishonor to God's name because Christians don't live by this book. We need to start living by God's word, honoring the Lord's name.
And then we are being conformed to His image. Let us be submissive to the hands of the potter.
You remember that great illustration there in the book of Jeremiah chapter 18 verses 1 to 6 about the potter. And of course oftentimes we're marred in the hands of the potter, but the potter takes us in His hand and He makes us again another vessel so that we're made anew. So that we're brought into submission in the hands of the potter.
Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8, Now, Lord, Thou art our Father. We are the clay, and Thou art the potter. And we all the work of Thy hands.
And sometimes God's dealings with us, dear friends, may be painful. And oftentimes God's dealings with us may even be perplexing. But always they are for our good. Maybe you've had an experience in the past year or in the past time and you can't understand why that happened to me. It's been a very painful, heart-rending experience in your life. You can't understand it. And you're still grappling with it. Maybe it happened years ago, but you're still grappling with it. It still comes up. You know what the Lord says? He says, all things work together for good to them that love God who are the called according to His purpose. All things. All things.
And then we must expect His chastening, but let us be exercised by the chastening of the Lord.
Let us be exercised by it. Many times in a family, someone is disciplined and chastened, but they're not exercised by it. They rebel against it and they say, why did my dad or why did my mom discipline me in that way? And they get hard and you meet people and they bring it up about how they were treated. And I don't know the detail, but you know, sometimes people don't accept discipline and they don't like it. And they're not exercised by it.
How we need as Christians to be exercised by it. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11, 12th chapter of Hebrews and the 11th verse. Notice what it says. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. And in every time of testing, we should ask, what new lesson is the Lord seeking to teach me?
And maybe you're going through a time of testing tonight, and you say, what is the Lord trying to teach me here? That's the right attitude. Because you're being exercised.
Even in the midst of chastening. If that's what you're experiencing. And then we may experience comfort, but let us do so and let us share that comfort with others.
And we quoted the verse, which was our a motto text for this year, we can comfort others with the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And the thought is, encourage. Encourage. How we need to be encouragers. Draw alongside that brother or that sister. Maybe it's a telephone call you need to make to them. Or just a text message that's carefully worded and chosen. We can't draw alongside maybe in the same way as we would normally in these times. But we can still do it. We can still do it. Give that comfort. And how wonderful it is that we can experience His comfort and then not be so selfish or self-centered that we don't share it with others. Share the comfort that you have known with others to comfort them. And then further, we should enjoy His liberty. Let us be victorious over every form of carnal and legal bondage. John chapter 8, verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Romans 8, 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. You remember Lazarus? The Lord raised him from the dead, but he was bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was bound with a napkin. John chapter 11 teaches us. And so in order for him to work and to walk and to witness, he had to be loosed. He had to be loosed. He had to be liberated. And the liberty that we find by being in the family of God, my friend, is something that causes us to be loosed from those things that bind us and causing us to be enabled to work and to walk and to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lazarus was not left bound. The Lord said, loose him and let him go. Liberty. There's people that are bound by legalism today. This thing and that thing. Now we know the commandments. But God's commandments are not grievous, friend. Not grievous. We're liberated. We're not in some kind of a straitjacket. We're liberated. We're the people of God. We've got liberty as God's people. And then, the final thing is this, we're going to share His glory. Let us be humbled by this rapturous prospect that we're going to share the glory of the Lord. Revelation 1:17, when John saw the Lord, he said, I fell at His feet as dead. He laid His right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. And of course, those early verses in 1 John chapter 3 talks about sharing His glory, being like Christ. Then we shall be where we would be. Then we shall be what we should be. Things which are not now nor could be, then shall be our own. Are you in the family tonight? Are you in the family of God? If you're not tonight, it is my earnest prayer and pleading that you would receive Christ as your Savior. You would become part of the family, that you would enjoy the blessings and the benefits of being part of the greatest family of all, the family of God. Come into God's family tonight. Take that step of faith. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ tonight as your Savior and become part of His great family. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts tonight. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that Thou wilt speak to every heart, every person that's outside the family. Lord, tonight may they come in to the family of God. And we who are in it, Lord, may we exhibit those characteristics and remind ourselves continually and be reminded of our responsibilities as the children of God, as children of this great family. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're joining the singing of a further hymn tonight, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. And I trust that as you sing these words tonight, as we keep our seats and sing them, that you will make the final words, O Lamb of God, I come, and that you will come tonight to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Savior and your Lord. Mm-hmm.
God has spoken to you tonight, you're not saved, you're not sure, or you're in a backslidden state, do speak with us as we leave tonight. I'll be outside there, and we're happy to speak to you and show you from God's word how you can be saved. Thank you for coming, and thank you for listening tonight. We trust the Lord will bless you in your soul tonight. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen. You may be seated.
Together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege of gathering together in your name under the sound of your word tonight. We pray, Father, that you would speak with clarity to every heart, to everyone who's listening in tonight. We pray that the Spirit of God would move in every life, bringing souls to Christ, backsliders returning to the Lord, and thy people being blessed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd just like to welcome you to our service tonight in the Lord's name. I trust the Lord will bless our coming together tonight for this gospel evening service. Could I remind you of the prayer meeting on Tuesday night as we meet around the Word of God at 8 p.m. We're looking at the Lamb in Revelation. Be blessed as we've looked at this wonderful theme, and we trust you.